You're listening to the Wool Academy podcast. This is episode number 24. Hello and welcome. My name is Elizabeth Van Delden, and once a week we talk to an industry expert from the wool industry supply chain, from farm to fashion and beyond, delivering strategies and insights to be successful in wool and showcasing those beautiful stories wool has to tell. Today on the show, we have Ari Kucha. Ari is a video producer with over 10 years of experience. He has worked in the motion picture, television, and online video spaces with some of the world's biggest brands, such as Nickelodeon, National Geographic, and the Woolmark Company. Welcome, Ari. It's so good to have you on the show today. How are you?
Very good, Elizabeth. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for your time. I know you're very busy. So let's get right started with the first question. Tell us a little bit more about yourself and the work that you do.
I'm a video producer. I came out of university having directed a couple of films and really enjoying the process of directing and also cinematography and editing. And I was always very enamored by storytelling. I think my mother was actually a storyteller. And I always loved it. I think every time I was alone, I would sort of make up movies in my head, and that's what I wanted to do whenever, when I sort of entered the working world, and that's what I did. And I've just been really fortunate to work for amazing companies, to have really good projects, and I've kind of still doing that today.
And university was in Australia, I understand.
That's right. Yeah, it was in Sydney, Australia. I went to Macquarie University, and they offered it was one of the two universities that offered a filmmaking course. Every single university offers a course, and there's dozens of colleges. And this all happened because our technology became a lot cheaper. I think it was more limited back then. You had film, and you had expensive equipment, and they had to really limit the amount of people who could do courses. But now there's just so many courses and so many people coming out with either degrees or sort of hungry for work that it's a completely different world than it was even 10 years ago, which is fascinating.
Yeah, and that kind of already leads me to my next question, because the reason I wanted to have you on the show is every time I read something on the internet, I read that video is the future. And also, anyone who is using social media platforms such as Facebook or Twitter or Instagram will also have noticed that these platforms have added video or live video to one of their features. So, and you just said the same, that there are more and more people doing videos. So can you explain us why video is this big thing going forward?
Well, I think, for any single person, that consumes media, I think they know that the reason that the video is so powerful is because it's many different senses that it's engaging, right? I mean, you're seeing something, you're hearing something, your experience is so far greater than other media with film. I think different media kind of, they play tricks on us in a sense that when you're reading something, maybe a book, you kind of go into a different world, but it's a lot of it's happening in your brain. Whereas with film, there's not much room for that because you're seeing something that's being produced for you. The music has been, composed for you. The dialogue has been written for you. Everything is there for you. You kind of, the director or auteur has created this experience, and there's not much room for you to create in your head. So in a sense, it's a very, very good or effective form of communication, because if you want to say something, you have an opportunity to really say it, as opposed to writing it, and then someone also can sort of sit there and, they just have words, and they can always kind of challenge it with their own, their own point of view or opinion. Whereas film, it's a lot harder because you can really contrive your message a lot better, I think. Why do you see it so much more now? The video has been around for the last century, and we're just seeing it a lot more now because, as I said before, technology is cheaper. Anyone can pick up a camera and shoot and create content. But also the internet has changed as well because, we have broadband connections, internet is faster, we can consume media faster. And for that reason, video is much more prevalent on the internet now. Whereas, you know, 7 years ago, it was a lot worse quality. It was a lot harder and slower to download or view. But now you see it everywhere. And it's just, as I said, it's really effective. It now can, you know, now we're able to view it easily on the internet. It was just a matter of time. And plus, it's almost as if there are so many more people that are able to create video. There are so many people coming out of colleges or universities with degrees or wanting to create video that it's kind of a supply and demand, or even the other way around. People are supplying it, and then there's becoming a means to consume it. Also, I think even when you scroll down your own news feed, I mean, what do you stop and look at? You stop and look at visual medium. There was a time when it was just things that people wrote, and then Facebook said, "Well, let's integrate photos." And then because of the broadband connections, they said, "Well, let's integrate video." And it's just there's just so much video content out there; it's incredible.
Yeah, and that's probably also the reasons that on the one hand it is more affordable, and on the other hand it also grabs more of our attention, which is why I think more and more companies should also be using video as a form of communications. And maybe you can kind of summarize what you believe are the benefits for companies that, for example, work in the wool industry, can gain from using video in their communications.
First thing is, I think there was a time when if a company wanted to create video, they would engage, and it's, believe me, I mean, like, the majority of companies still do this, and there are good reasons for that. But they engage with a video production company via an agency, like an ad agency or a creative agency, and they'll have briefs and they'll shoot it. They'll use them, and it goes through these different mediums until it gets to the guy who actually directs the video for you. That's great. But the problem with that is it's very expensive each time you do a project. Not only that, you're probably getting a different creative team each time you do it as well. So they need to relearn your brand and relearn your values and everything that you want to communicate in that video. The great thing about doing things in-house, if you have the ability to do that, is that your message doesn't really get lost. You won't need to go back and forth between yourselves and the people producing the video. You can just tell your message with your own words. I was fortunate enough to work for the Walmart company for 4 years. And they had the incredible insight of bringing video production in-house a lot earlier than a lot of other companies were doing so. By doing that, they saved a lot of money, because instead of each time going out, you know, creating a video, they saved a lot of money because they did it in-house. They didn't go to a big production company. Not only that, they had people in-house, myself, for example, who not only knew what was happening, not only knew the wool industry, but my knowledge of the industry grew and built and developed, and I learned more every single day. And with that, I think the messages and stories I could tell became more sophisticated and became more in line with the company as it grew and as it evolved. I really empathized with wool growers because I got to meet them and I stayed at their homes. And when I told their stories, I think I told it with, you know, care and I just wanted to reflect what was happening in the industry. And I think those things can't really happen if you engage an external company that doesn't have a finger on the pulse of your company or on the industry, because they have clients from all over the world or they have clients from different industries. So they're not really honed in on a particular thing. And I think, and as I said, anyone can create a video now, because our cell phones, our smartphones have technology that is better than, you know, the cameras that came out 5 years ago even. And it's not only that. At the end of the day, it's not only the technology you have, it's a story you tell. And, you know, we are humans. We've transmitted stories for generations. That's how our culture has continued to thrive, because we tell stories. So, you know, having said all that, that's just kind of the way that I think companies can tell their own stories. Yeah,
I remember the first time I learned that you were working as the video producer for the Walmart company, that really was also like a certain milestone, that I said, wow, this is really, you know, very visionary and an amazing thing to do for the Woolmark company. So I remember that exactly. And you just said the same, that it was quite kind of early in video world, so to say, but they were very on spot.
No, I mean, like when I would tell people what my job was, they'd say, "Wow, that's incredible!" Like, firstly, that they couldn't believe that that the company was doing that, and secondly, they were like, "Wow, you're so lucky to have that job." And then thirdly, they were like, "Hang on a second, do you have enough work to continue doing this?" And I said, "Yeah, we're working on 8 projects at a time," and it was so busy, and it continues to be very busy. It's great, and not only that, I think people, other companies really respected it, and it enabled a lot of collaborations to occur that may not have happened if they didn't have someone in house, because we understood the company, we also understood what these companies that we were working with, whether they were fashion brands or whatever, we knew what they wanted, and we could really speak to them. Instead of having, again, that external party of the agency or production company having to be involved. So it was a lot, the communication was a lot cleaner, and it was a lot of a smoother process.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And yeah, maybe to give some more tips to companies in the wool industry, what kind of videos should companies start with? Like, what is an easy way to start with video?
Well, I think the easiest way to start is to tell your own story, because I think every single company has a unique story. I mean, just like every single person has a unique story. I can't think of a single company now, but I mean, if you are someone who owns a company or owns a brand, I think you need to think very clearly. And I think you've already told this story before. If you have a brand or or a company or whatever, you have a story. You've told your story before. And it's interesting, because I think every story is interesting. And if you want to, create a video, which a lot of people do, they have on their websites, on their landing page or whatever, they have a video. Start with telling your own story, because it gives you the edge, because every company is unique because of that story. You know, the story reflects the product, the product reflects the story. That would be the first thing I would do.
So it kind of replaces the company brochure that sit in your basement because they're too heavy to send around.
it's right. I mean, look, and people want things that are short, that are shareable, that are enjoyable. Everyone wants to create something that's viral. I mean, you can't create a viral video, but you can always create something that's sincere and genuine. People also, that's the other thing, because there's so much user-generated content, The way that we've viewed, like, the type of content that's out there has completely changed. It used to be that you'd have this sort of voice of God speaking and these beautiful cinematic shots and all these things that would come together to tell a story. And now we're so used to that stuff that that doesn't engage us anymore, because it's not genuine and doesn't really speak to us. It's kind of like, well, okay, that's kind of contrived, and it's not really real. It's how we used to tell stories, and now, because people are shooting with their phones and there's a lot of vlogging on the internet, it's just, there's things feel a little more handmade and a little more it's almost like why we prefer to get things from Etsy as opposed to eBay. Like, instead of mass produced things, we want things that are handmade, that are artisanal. That's kind of the wool, one of the appeals of the wool industry. Wool is very artisanal. It's very, it's come from a sheep that was bred over generations to create a finer blend of wool that, is used in a product that's it's of a very high quality. That's just kind of where the world's kind of going at the moment, because there's so much of this mass production. I know I'm trying to sort of bring two different ideas together, but I think that, we as a consumer, because so much media is uploaded and we see so much visual content every day, we are smarter as a result, and we have a higher threshold for quality now. We want better. We want things that are not necessarily looking better, but things that aren't very, I said it before, just contrived. We don't want that contrived message. We want genuine. We want really sort of sincere messaging.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to add. Is like, you can, I guess, create more intimacy and try to be more real and not build a barrier of, you know, but really connect to your audience by showing who you really are.
Yeah, yeah. And look, and you see that with things like Twitter. Like, celebrities used to be, we sort of experienced celebrities, you know, celebrity culture through tabloid magazines and just and seeing them on screen. But now we literally can talk to them through Twitter. There's even, you know, with Periscope, and like you can have, people have they've asked me anything sessions where you can literally ask celebrities anything and they'll respond to you. It's we live in such a different world, and again, it's because of technology, and of course because of social media, how that's completely changed the way we communicate, for better or worse as well. But obviously, video has played a major part in that.
Yeah, and speaking of technology, what kind of videos can businesses actually do themselves, just using their mobile phone? And what kind of videos should they actually hire a professional videographer?
Yeah, so, I mean, like, videos that people can do themselves, I mean, it doesn't take very long to learn how to edit a video. But everyone knows how to shoot video. There are a couple of golden rules, obviously, when you shoot video, just that one should adhere to. And there's obviously rules that you can learn that you can break to sort of create something a bit different. But generally, I mean, sound is incredibly important. People have a very low tolerance for bad sound. If something was recorded bad sound, people are just going to tune out. I personally listen to a lot of podcasts. And as interesting as a podcast can be, if I don't understand what they're saying, or if it's just there's some element about the way that podcast was recorded, I can't listen to it. Maybe I'm a podcast snob. But
no, I had that the other day as well. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
I'm also embarrassed of some of my podcast recording in the beginning of
the show. Right. It's hard. When there's phoned in conversations, I mean, it can be really hard to control. But audio quality is incredibly important. And also video. I mean, like, there's an effect of having a wobbly camera, as you'll see in a lot of even TV series like The Office. It's kind of like this documentary feel that came about from a documentary years and years ago, where it was called Cinema Verite. It was sort of shoot from the hip type of almost guerrilla filmmaking. But if you go a bit too far with that, you're just shaking the camera so much because you're just not really holding it properly. Again, it's too hard to watch. So those are really the two stumbling blocks to content being, it's just too hard to view it or listen to it. Other than that, you need to create content that just doesn't go on too long. There's kind of almost this time limit for videos on the internet where it's kind of like a minute and a half, 2 minutes, unless it's very, very, engaging and really interesting. After 2 minutes, there's this thing where people literally look at their watch, because when are people watching videos? They're at work and they might be finishing off their lunch, so they're eating at their desk. They go onto Facebook and they watch this video. And it's going on. Is it 2 minutes? It's like, well, hang on a second, I got to get back to work. And if you can't engage someone for 2.5 minutes, it's really, really hard to do. It's getting harder and harder to do. One of the reasons that actually is because, you know, you obviously sit down, you watch a 30-minute show on TV all the time. But those 30-minute shows have a three-act structure, and we're so used to that that structure that it's almost like it's not generic, but it's kind of familiarity and being human is kind of this thing that they go together. We like to do things that we kind of expect. It's almost like, you know, really – these kind of poor sitcoms that get sort of churned out all the time. We watch them, we laugh. We watch them, the entire half an hour. Why do we not watch a 3-minute video online then? Because those 3-minute videos online don't really follow that same structure. They don't really have a 3-act structure. They don't have the things that we expect that we're used to on TV. They're different. They're really, because they're not created in the same traditional sense. So having said all that, when you create content, it should be short and to the point. It should be smart, but as I said before, it should be sincere. And another thing is, like, you know, when you're talking to a friend of yours and they're kind of talking to you in your language, and you know, it's colloquial, it's you know, it's not contrived because you're just talking to a friend. You won't find yourself looking at the time. You're enjoying that type of conversation. And that's kind of the same way that you should talk through your videos as well, because you don't want to talk to your clientele or your audience as if they're lower than you. You want to talk to them as if they're on your level, because they appreciate being respected like that. There's a whole level of psychology that goes into it. But it's short content. It's a video that's not too shaky, that makes the person want to throw up. And good enough sound quality that they can understand what you're saying. And as we said before, it's telling a sincere story. And obviously, if you can think of a really unique way to do that, that is, you know, a really, really important thing. I remember the first really, really viral music video. I was by a band called OK Go, and they were doing this dance, a synchronized dance on treadmills. And it was so simple, yet it was so brilliant. And they have gone on to create some of the most incredible videos I've seen on the internet. They're just so, so smart.
Yeah, I remember that.
But at the same time, that first video they did themselves, right? They didn't need they happened to be very, talented, and creative guys. But now the things they do, they do need production companies because they've gone beyond the level where they can do things themselves. But I think, and I'm not sure now, but I think a lot of those ideas came from them. And there's no reason why you at a company with those ideas can't also execute them yourselves. Because there's a sort of the blue sky idea where you can think of anything you want, and then you come up with an idea, it's like, how the hell am I going to execute that? But then if the really intelligent part of that is to think of it a more simple way to execute a similar idea on a lower budget, on a way that you could do it and still shoot it yourself. But if it does, if it's something you can't do yourself, and that's when you do go to a company to help you. Or if you really can't, not everyone is creative. Everyone has a level of creativity, but not everyone is able to really think outside of the box, so to speak, with video. And again, I think that's also a good time to get a video production company or go through an agency, because there's no doubt the best content out there has been created by agencies. There's no doubt. There's been so much user generated content out there, but at the same time, I think the creative people in the world have been creating the most incredible videos, and those people generally work for agencies. But at the same time, as I said, you yourself, there's nothing stopping you creating a great video. You have all the technology. Okay. You could edit it on your phone. You could do everything on your phone. It's crazy.
Let's end with my last questions. How do you engage sheep when you shoot a video? Because I tried taking pictures of sheep and they always run away, and so you always have their back.
I was shooting once at a mixed a shared enterprise. So it was sheep and cows, and the sheep all ran away, and the cows just stood there saying, film me, baby. Look at my beautiful udders. And I was just like, oh, really? Seriously? The way you do it, because sheep are incredibly flighty, and not just that, merino sheep are incredibly flighty. It's like the one sheep that I really wanted to shoot were always the hardest to shoot. That's hard, because in order to get good shots of merino sheep, you need to have a zoom lens. It's almost like shooting wildlife at a nature reserve in Africa. You need to be quite close without being close. So those things are really important. The other thing is, and I think this is a really beautiful thing as well, is that telling the story of those sheep is not necessarily just the sheep in a paddock, because that tends to get boring. What's nicer is actually the animal husbandry. It's the interaction between the farmer and his sheep. And when you have a good chemistry between them, you don't have to worry about them being flighty anymore, because the sheep are engaged with their farmer, and it's really beautiful to see that relationship. Another thing, look, drones are obviously really, really good, because they're they have a very light footprint in terms of sound They're not very loud. They don't tend to scare sheep that much, and they also give you a really beautiful view of sheep because you because it's quite a wide angle. If you are shooting from very far away, you tell a lot about the wool story because you see sheep, you know, these little dots, or you know, if you're closer, you see the sheep themselves. But you see them in a massive, huge area, beautiful green area, pristine trees, green grass. And it sort of does a lot to dispel the belief that, you know, sheep are sitting tied up in some shed. You know, they're out there in a beautiful environment. So, yeah, that sort of thing, those sort of things are really important. And again, when you're shooting, when you're filming sheep, you really need to think about what are you trying to tell in this shot as well. You don't just want to shoot sheep and then it might be next door barbed wire, because that's not a very good image to convey. These things are really, really important, especially because you not only have to think about the people that, you know, your sort of target audience, you're also going to think about the people who want to smear your name and really, I guess, either your competitors or the people who are against the industry at all. So those are the really things that I always had in the back of my mind. If I saw one single thing that I thought that this could do damage to the industry, because it wasn't damaging on its own. But that's, again, another problem with video, is that people, they might take things out of context, or they can clip things out of your video and re-edit it, which we've seen a lot with different, animal, welfare groups. They can distort the truth. So you got to make sure that you're not giving them the opportunity to do that. Or if they see your video out of context, you also don't want them to get that idea. Because I've been to a lot of farms, if you generally just see the sheep on the farm, they look really happy because they are in a massive piece of land, and they're eating, they're getting shelter, they're being looked after, because as anyone in this industry knows, if you want good wool and you need happy sheep. So as I said before, it's the chemistry with the farmer. It's the beautiful wide angle views so that you can see that they're happy, because being wide angle means they're far away from you, and they won't be upset, with you even making any sudden movements. It will be too far away to upset them, and also have that zoom lens if you want to get a really close shot. But another thing is that you don't really want to focus too much on their behinds, because that's not a great look.
Which you have when they run away.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Ari, I really love your tips. Thank you so much. And maybe just those of the listeners who think, yeah, but who has a drone? Actually, we met quite a few farmers who are already working with drones. And that's, again, part of where technology becomes more affordable and then can be used also for videos.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's a very good example.
Excellent, Ari. Before we wrap up, how can our listeners connect with you and maybe also watch a few of your films?
You can go to my website. It has a lot of the stuff that I did for Woolmark on there. It's just arikuchar.com, and all my details are on there to connect with me.
Great. And we'll make that available in the show notes. Well, thank you, Ari. I really appreciate all the insights that you gave us, and hopefully more people will engage in video and video production.
Thanks, Elizabeth, and it has been my pleasure.
Thank you.
All the best.
Bye.
Cheers. Bye.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode with Ari Kucha. If you want to find out more about Ari and his video production company, visit the show notes at elizabethvandelden.com/024. Once again, all information and all links can be found at elizabethvandelden.com/024. We love that you're listening to this podcast. Make sure you also connect with us on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. See you there, and bye for now.